This is session number 10 of the Gospel According to John series. We are in John chapter 1. Last time we finished verse 15. In John 1 verse 15, we saw that John bare witness of him, that's the Word made flesh. And he cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And then I believe in verse 16 and 17 and 18, John the Apostle is going to give some extra understanding of the Word made flesh. See, verse 15, John is quoting John the Baptist and what he preached. And then he's going to get back to John the Baptist, and he's going to begin the official record of John the Baptist, and then ultimately the end of John's ministry, passing it off to Jesus and Jesus' ministry. But he adds a little bit of an extra analysis here. So John preached that, "This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And then John the Apostle adds extra understanding in verse 16 through 18, and he states, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." These are three powerful verses and some very, very important truths, not only just to understand in general for just our understanding of the Lord and his work, but these are also quite important for our studies and our reading of the Gospel according to John. As we continue in John, we're going to see these three verses are paramount. He says, "And of his fullness have all we received." Of his fullness have all we received. What is he talking about? Of his fullness have all we received. Well, in chapter 3, John the Baptist said this about Jesus Christ. He says in verse 34, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God." He's talking about Christ. "For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." He giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. See, every one of us, we get a measure of faith. We get a measure of grace. We get a measure of the Spirit. We get a measure of different gifts of the Spirit. Now, those measures are not fixed for the rest of our life. You can read these things in Paul's letters, and you can gain this understanding. We can grow in our measure of faith and grow in our measure of grace and grow in our measure of the gifts and the measure of the Spirit and all that stuff. You're not fixed in just, "This is what I have, that's all I have." No, you can grow in those things. You can gain more. He said, "Ask and it shall be given you," right? But Jesus Christ, he was not given the Spirit by measure. John said in John 1 verse 15, "Of his fullness have all we received." Of his fullness. That's Christ's fullness. What is that fullness? Colossians chapter 2 makes it very clear. In Colossians 2 verse 9, it says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." All the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in him. See, the Word was made flesh. So all the fullness of who God is and what God is and all the fullness of the Spirit and what the Spirit is and what the Spirit works and the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, all of that dwelt in Jesus Christ. He is the fullness. But John says, this is the amazing thing, "Of his fullness have all we received." We get to receive of that fullness. Now, we don't get the fullness. He's the fullness. But we get to receive of that. And I think of in 2 Peter 1 verse 4, where it talks about that are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. ye might be partakers of the divine nature. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So the fullness of divinity, of deity, dwelt in him. And he says, of that fullness we can receive. See, he had the Spirit of the Lord, the very Spirit of God himself, and we can receive that Spirit. He had the gifts of the Spirit. We can receive of those gifts. He had the grace of God. We can receive of that grace. He had the faith of God. We can receive of his fullness. And literally, Peter says, we get to be partakers of the divine nature. See, when we're born on this earth, we are not partakers of the divine nature. We are partakers of flesh. We are natural. We partake of the earthly nature. Paul explains this in 1 Corinthians 15. First, that which is earthly. First, that which is natural. We're of the earthly nature. And in the earthly nature, we all become partakers of devilish nature. You can read that in Ephesians 2. Where we really start to partake of the devil's nature, of this, the children of disobedience, and we become by nature the children of wrath and things like that. But see, in Christ, if we dwell among him, the Word made flesh, we can receive of his fullness. We can be partakers of the divine nature, where literally divinity dwells in us now. I'm not saying we are God manifest in the flesh. We are not God manifest in the flesh. But God should be being manifested in our flesh. The Spirit of God should be being manifested through us. And he says, and we receive grace for grace. Hallelujah. God doesn't just give us grace so that we can just sit and enjoy grace. He actually gives us grace for grace. What does that mean? Well, I think of 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says in verse 10 that by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Paul says the grace I was given wasn't just so I could sit and enjoy, but the grace I was given was so I could go out and labor and work to bring this grace to others. So that he could be a minister of the grace of Christ. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So he says, the way you've received, whatever gifts you've received, you're supposed to be ministering those gifts. You don't just receive grace for yourself. You receive grace, yes, for yourself, but ultimately not for yourself, but grace for grace, so that you can receive grace and give out grace. You can receive grace and minister grace. You can receive the gifts of the Spirit and give the gifts of the Spirit. That's what we've received. We get to receive of his fullness, but not just so that we can just be blessed, but we get to receive of his fullness so we can be blessed and then be a blessing and pass this grace on to others. John understood this. We are vessels. And in verse number 16, I'm sorry, I misquoted earlier. That was John 1 verse 16. In verse number 17 comes this very pivotal and important verse in our understanding of what Jesus Christ has brought in the New Testament. But also, this is going to be important for the rest of this book in John. And in John 1:17, it says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So here we're seeing what Christ brought. Now, the first thing he wants to bring us back to, what Moses brought. And what did Moses bring? What did Moses give? Well, the law was given by Moses. Now, we could look at a lot of things. Hebrews talks about how Moses was the servant of God. And it talks about that all through the Old Testament. God referred to Moses as my servant. He was a prophet. He was a servant. And he brought the law. And you can read a lot in Hebrews where it contrasts the old and the new. And it's wonderful to see the contrast of how the old was something that was a covenant of darkness and death and quaking and fear and trembling, and how the ministration of the new is pure light and it's the approach unto heaven. The ministration of the old was something of the earth and on the earth, but the ministration of the new is being brought to Mount Zion itself, the city of the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of God. In 2 Corinthians 3 is another great passage to read and contrast the old versus the new, how the old had this glory and it had this power, but it was just the ministry of death. It was the ministry of condemnation. All the old could really bring in and of itself was death and guilt and condemnation. And how this ministration of the new is so much more glorious. It so much excels the glory of the old because it's the ministration of the Spirit. It's the ministration of life. It's the ministration of righteousness. God's not trying to bring guilt and condemnation and death in the new. He's trying to bring justification and the Spirit and righteousness and life. And so he contrasts those things, and it's an important study to understand. I mean, the law was given by Moses. Moses was just the servant of God, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Under the law, you could just become his servant. It was a covenant of bondage, according to Galatians 4. It made you the servant of God. Now, being the servant of God is better than just being out in darkness and without any hope, like the heathen. But it just made you a servant, where in this new covenant, we're going to see this is something that is brought by the Son. And if it's brought by the Son, as we saw earlier in John 1, it allows us to become sons of God, where it's not a covenant of bondage, but it's actually a covenant of liberty to make us free, to make us the children of God. It's an amazing thing. And John is making this contrast, saying the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And what you're going to see is throughout this gospel, John is going to constantly, very subtly, not obviously, but subtly, he's going to be contrasting the law that was given by Moses and how the letter leads to death and condemnation and guilt and bondage. And he's going to be contrasting it with the grace and truth that came by Jesus Christ, which is true righteousness and eternal life and the Spirit. And it's wonderful. We're going to keep this. This is a key verse, and you're going to track this through the whole book. He's contrasting the law that came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And it's interesting how here he's contrasting the law with grace and truth. It's very interesting. Now, clearly, the law and grace are contrasted. Romans chapter 11, verse 6, Paul makes it very clear that if our salvation and if our election is according to works, if it's according to the works of the law, that it can't be by grace. But if it's according to grace, then it can't be by works. You know, he's just making it very clear. It can't be grace and works. It's one or the other. And he deals with that in Romans 9, 10, and 11. And you can look at that. And Paul makes it very clear that this is God's grace. This is faith. It's not works of righteousness. It's not our righteousness according to the law, which is what our works of righteousness are. It's according to the law. This is a greater righteousness. And it's something that's received by grace. We have to receive it of his fullness. We don't receive it of our fullness. We don't look at the letter of the law and study the law and study the word and study the book and study the book and then try to bring our lives into line with it and try to raise our level up. No, that's the work of the flesh still. No, we have to come to him. We got to come to the word made flesh. We got to come to Jesus Christ and receive of his fullness. This is grace. This grace is something that's not of the law. It's not of just the letter. It's not just of the words on the page. It's just something that's got to be the Spirit writing these things in our heart, putting these things in our heart. But it's interesting also how he contrasts the law with truth. Now, there's no doubt that God's law is true, and it's the truth in the sense of what he said, what he declared, what he wrote is absolutely true. There's no doubt. There's scriptures in the Old Testament. It even says, thy law is truth. So it is truth. But It's just interesting how he says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It's almost implying that the truth that comes by Jesus is not from the law. This is something greater. And I guess if you think of truth in this sense, if you read like Colossians 2, verse 14 to 17, and if you read Hebrews 10, verse 1, and you know, the first part of Hebrews 10, if you read through that, I think in this sense, this is how the law is not the truth. Here's what I mean by it. Colossians 2, he talks about how Jesus blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, and he nailed it to his cross. And it talks about how don't let anybody judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. He's talking all about the things of the law. He says, don't let anybody judge you of those things of the law. Why? Those things are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. See, they're a shadow, but they're not the real image. They're not the real substance. They're not the real thing. It's just a shadow of what was to come. And in Hebrews 10, verse 1, Paul says the same kind of thing. He says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. See, what he's saying is all the things of the law, everything that was in the law, the commandments of the law, the priesthood of the law, the sacrifices and offerings of the law, the tabernacle and temple, the house of God of the law, all the things that went into the worship of God that was of the law, those weren't the real thing. They were just shadows of things to come. They were like signs of what was to come. And that's why he says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. See, truth in the New Testament sense, he's talking about the very substance, the reality of those things. And in that sense, the law didn't bring the truth. It just pointed to the truth that was to come, but it didn't bring it. Moses didn't really bring the truth. He just brought the covenant that pointed towards the need for the truth. But Jesus Christ came and he brought the grace and truth of this New Testament. He was the fulfillment of those things. He is the image of those things. He is the substance of those things. And that's why we have to receive of his fullness. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, not by the law. And then it says in verse 18, by God's grace, this will be the end of the introduction to the gospel according to John. Verse 18, it says, no man hath seen God at any time. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So here's the understanding. No man has seen God at any time. He's talking about the full revelation of God, like really seeing God for fully who he is. The revelation of the Father himself, nobody's seen him at any time. The Old Testament could not reveal the fullness of God. It could not reveal the face of God. You go back to Exodus 33, where Moses wanted to see God's glory, and God said, no man can see my face and live. He said, I'll pass by you, I'll let you see a little bit of my back parts. That's it. But you can't see my face and live. Under the law, they could not see God. They could not receive of his fullness. They couldn't see the revelation of who he is. They couldn't see his face. Imagine a relationship with somebody where you've never seen their face. That relationship is incomplete. But in the New Testament, through Christ, we can see the Father. That's why in John 14, verse 8, Philip was saying, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. He's like, man, if you just show us the Father, it's good enough for us. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? He said, man, if you see me, you see the Father. Why? Because the Father's in me. Christ was sent to reveal the Father. That's why Christ came. He came to reveal the Father. And not just reveal the Father for who he is, but he actually came to reveal God as Father. See, this new and better covenant is something where now it can establish a better relationship with God. Again, a covenant is establishing a binding relationship. And this new covenant is actually allowing us to know God, not just as God, not just as the fearful master that we shake and tremble under, as Moses knew him and as they knew him under the law. But he's actually come, Jesus Christ, to establish God as our Father so we can know him as Father. That's what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 17 at the very end of his prayer to the Father. He said, I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. What was the name that Jesus Christ declared? He declared Father. Until Jesus Christ, nobody really knew God as their Father in a personal and real and intimate way. They knew God as God. They feared him as God. They knew him as the Almighty. They knew he had all power. They knew him as the Most High. They knew he was above all other gods and above everything. They knew him even as Jehovah. They knew him as the I Am. You know, he's self-sufficient. He always will be, always is. He doesn't change. He's the Lord that changes not. But they didn't really know him as Father. And Jesus Christ revealed God as the Father and came to declare him, came to bring us into this kind of covenant relationship. That's why John says, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, the only begotten Son, that's found four times in the Bible. It's found here, chapter 3, verse 16, chapter 3, verse 18, and 1 John 4, 9. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. See, the Son is in the bosom of the Father. The bosom represents the closest relationship. It's like same flesh. Often in the Old Testament, you'll see things like the wife of thy bosom or the husband of thy bosom. See, it's like two that are one. They're really just one. And Christ is in the heart of the Father. Christ is, he's in the spirit of the Father. Christ and the Father are one spirit and one heart. He's in the bosom. And this only begotten Son, he's come to declare the Father so that we could know God as Father. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us so that not only could we see his glory, but that of his fullness we could receive. He was come not to bring the law. The law made us servants. He was come to bring grace and truth so that we could be sons. He was come so that finally we could see God, which was impossible under the law. It was impossible apart from Jesus Christ. He came to reveal the Father so we could see the Father, so we could know the Father, so that we could say, Abba, Father. We could say, Daddy. He could be our Father. And the same love that was in Christ, the love that the Father had for him and the love that he had for the Father and the love that he had for others, that same love could dwell in us. Amen? What a marvelous salvation. What a marvelous grace. And what great truth that has come by Jesus Christ. That is the end of the introduction to the gospel according to John. Amen.